Okay, welcome back to WNYLXS Radio. The reason why we took that little break is because our guest, Billy Donahue, or one of our guests, Billy Donahue, has just showed up, and so I wanted to take out a moment to for him to say hello, and for him, he brought his son. You see, today is Father's Day. Billy is a father, as I am, and so Billy's busy right now taking care of Dewey, but maybe Dewey's really good. We'll put Dewey on the air because everybody loves kids, right? Okay, we're working on it. Anyway, getting back to desktops, by the way, we were supposed to have today three guests, and the major one was supposed to be Diane Rawls. Diane's a mother, so it's appropriate on Father's Day and Mother's Day. Everybody has distractions with children, but Diane's kid is a little bit ill today, and we would like for everybody here say, feel good, Nelia, and you should feel better. She's running a little bit of fever, and hopefully she'll be better by tomorrow. And we'll have Diane on next week to go into one of the things that we really wanted to talk about this week was not just, okay, the obvious problem of why it is that people should not badmouth the GNU Linux desktop, but we really also want to discuss how do you go about from this point forward trying to get people to adopt the desktop, and what is the things that we can do as a free software volunteer organization of technicians and Empower users or experienced users that we can do to help become the bridesmaid, so to speak, or the midwife to the birth of free software on the standard desktop. So one of the things that we have to do is that we first have to look at what it is that businesses need in order to be able to adopt any type of desktop. Now, this is true even going from Windows 95 to Windows 98, and going from 98 to 2000, going from WordPerfect to Word, and Word to Word 2000, and from Word 2000 to Word 5000, or whatever they're up to now. The question becomes, you have a staff of maybe 1,000 people in a medium-sized business. What do you do with all these people? You can't just drop a desktop on them and say, hey, let's just run with this, you know. Here it is, no instructions. There's a help. If you click on here, you can get some help and go. We expect you to be productive. No, this is not the way things go. Any type of corporation that's involved with any type of serious computer use absolutely mandatorily has to have an efficient and well-planned training program in place in order to train employees on the software that is currently being used. Now, this is, you know, relatively large business for Microsoft users. In fact, business schools all across the city, some of them sponsored by the state even, people getting thousands of dollars to teach people how to basically use Lotus 1-2-3 spreadsheet or Excel spreadsheet and Office desktop solutions, including how to click a mouse. And this is a pretty large business. Okay, so this is something that nobody's really addressing, and it's something that we as free software volunteers can start to address. We can make relatively inexpensive programs available for people to learn how to use the desktop, and we can even start to give corporate supports by either through sponsorship of third-party programs of members. In other words, we have members. And by the way, NYLXS has a paid membership of volunteers who work hard. And if you're a paid member and volunteer who works for the New York Linux scene, one of the advantages that you get is that you get to network with us. And in our process of developing our desktop initiative, as we are currently trying to develop it, one of the things that we can clearly do is have the resources of these people to be provided for you. So, for example, Diane Rawlins is an excellent trainer of desktop solutions for both, right now, for the Microsoft world. And she's been looking at OpenOffice, and she's beginning to get with the Linux program. She used to work in an office with me, so she's not completely, you know, unfamiliar with this territory. And Diane is ready to become probably the preeminent GNU Linux desktop user and trainer, probably in the city. And Diane has taken it upon herself to get to know the ins and the outs of these programs. Very much the way, if you're a hacker, that you have to get to know programming language. Believe it or not, these programs can get very complicated for users. They're not really, you know, chop suey. They're not just, despite the fact that they got GUIs, they're really not as quick and go as they should be. And it really takes a little bit to get up to speed with any of these programs to learn how to use it. And Diane has taken on the responsibility to both learn what it takes in order to be able to use these programs and to create a program for training other people to do this. And in addition to that, the Free Software Institute is going to be adding this into our vocabulary of classes that we're going to be teaching. So far, NYAXS and the Free Software Institute has a program that's very excellent at providing for people the capability of learning how to system administer and program. Come on, Dewey. You want to say like that? But what we don't have yet is a program, really, to teach the day-to-day user how to use the desktop and to be able to get up to speed efficiently so they can go over and so that they can program. Hey, kiddo, how you feeling?
Hi, Superman.
You're a Superman? Okay. That's a great answer. Oh, do you have comic books, Dewey? Do your favorite. Get him a comic book out of there. Something that's not too scary, hopefully. Anyway, we need somebody to be able to step in and be able to rapidly get people up to speed in offices on the new desktops. After all, this is going to be a slightly different environment for a number of reasons. Not only is the OpenOffice suite obviously going to be different from the Microsoft Office suite, but in addition to that, they're going to have the problem of having to cope with the differences in the desktop environment themselves. For one thing, it could seem very much to the new user a rather bewildering thing. I mean, if you have a 50-year-old... Oh, that's great. If you have a 50-year-old woman who's been working in an office using DOS and Star Office... There you go. And they use Star Office. And, well, not Star Office. They're using Word Star, right? From back in the old DOS days, right? And you're trying to figure, and they're trying to figure out how to use Windows. This is a huge front change to them, and it's going to be equally bewildering for people who have experience with different systems to make a change. Now, of course, if they weren't paid employees and they had a real interest in software, they could, of course, just do this on their own and take the time out to do this. However, they're not going to do this because, after all, they're paid employees. They want to do their job, go home at the end of the day, you know, have sex and make breakfast. That's what they want to do. Or if they're 50 years old, maybe they don't want to have sex anymore. But you get the point. So what is it that we get these people to... how do we get these people up to speed quickly? This clearly takes training. And it takes training from somebody who knows the products well and knows how to relate to people well, somebody who can smile with the best of them. And, of course, this in itself is very much of its own sales job. So Diane can cover all this stuff. She's busy, as we speak, developing the documentation that's necessary for the booklets, and we're hoping that we're eventually going to get... That's good. Did you see that movie? We're working on getting the booklets produced, and we're hoping to get videos worked out for this, and perhaps something interactive. She has a history of using PowerPoint for these purposes, but we will be using as we go along. As we go along, we're going to be using anything other than PowerPoint, obviously, to do something like this. But there are, as a matter of fact, a number of presentation graphics programs, and we will be cooking with them. And that being said, let me let Billy say hello.
Hi, am I on?
Yeah,
you're on. Green light's dancing.
Okay, Dewey, okay. Say hello. Say hello, Dewey.
Superman, go ahead.
Joining us today is Spider-Man.
And Superman. Where did you get that wonderful color?
Well, Dewey, you know, your hair is just wonderful color. You know, women dye their hair to get this color.
Brown.
Yeah, it's brown, yellow, and red with blue eyes. Boy, you're great. Can you pinch those pinches?
Yellow with blue eyes.
Yes, let me see your blue eyes. Can you see your blue eyes? You're trying to see them? He's closing his eyes.
He's closing them.
Nope, can't see them even if you close them, right? He's trying to turn his eyes back to see his own eyes. This is a normal child response, actually. Anyway, we're good. Should we get my parrot in here also? Yeah, dude, you'd make a great mascot. Okay. Future free software users of the world unite.
Well, he's a present free software user.
He's a present free software user.
Absolutely.
There you go. Dad and my daughter.
His favorite program is the screensaver.
I can appreciate that, actually. Actually, when my kids were...
I thought I let him interact with, actually. He tries to type a password. One time he got out of it. I don't know how, but he found a keystroke combination that killed it.
Control alternate backspace. We'll do it.
Maybe that's what he did.
I'll tell you something, though.
But how did he know to do that?
No, I tell you, you're making a mistake, because one of the advantages that you have in using, Linux in the home, GNU Linux in the home, is that give him his own accounts. Let him destroy it. At the end of the month, you'd wipe out you'd back up all the beautiful graphics that he's going to make, right? Because he's going to make a ton of them. And press them, get them off drive, because he's going to make more. And then you recreate the account so he gets to destroy it again.
Well, he's actually a budding photographer.
There.
So he takes a lot of digital photos. And
there you go. You have to quit smoking. Can you spell NYLXS? Because I surely can't.
NYLXX.
He's looking at you. You're very strange. No, you're very strange. You're being silly. Tell him he's being silly, right? Okay.
Maybe it would help if you explained what it stood for.
Yes, that would help him a great deal. It stands for Nutty Linux Users in New York. That's what it stands for. Okay. Have you ever tried to get your mother to use the GNU desktop?
No. If I could just get her to stop sending me those jackpot emails, that would be a start.
The jackpot emails?
Well, she gets WAM sweepstakes. Sign up all your friends and win entries in the drawing.
So she gets spam, and she figures that's so great and wonderful that she sends it on to you.
No, she volunteers for the spam. She goes to the website.
That asks for spam.
Yeah, the hive of spam where it all originates.
This was a big debate that we had when I was over at Dot, as if the what is an opt-in?
Well, if your mom opts you in, I guess you're opted in.
Clearly. What else could you be opted in? If you clicked on their website, generally you opted in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they did something very interesting, though. They started sending me email from what appeared to be her email account. They would actually say, Billy, this is something you should look at.
From your mother.
Yeah, but it said, love... That my mother's full first and last name, which she would never sign.
That's
but
pretty devious.
Yeah. And it was actually from her email account. Pretty amazing.
Well, I think... I didn't mean to get into a discussion of spam.
They forged from headers, obviously.
Obviously. But I didn't even think want to get into a sub-discussion of spam, but spam has been hot on my list lately. I think it's talked about since I'm in the middle of a spam war.
Uh-huh.
But they've been getting very aggressive. But one of the strangest things is that they tell you... We're just conducting, I've actually called some of these people that send spam records. They're stupid enough to actually send you a contact telephone number.
Oh, well, then, yeah.
Yeah. So then I use my cell phone, which considers everything local.
Toll free.
Yeah. Everything is, all long distance is considered local.
Hmm.
So, and then I call up the spammers. And then they say, well, this is just a regular kind of business. So, don't you believe in free enterprise? I said, well, I've never had to have free enterprise where I can't trace back the front door of the people that are trying to do me business. And clearly, in the case of your mail... I have no idea where it came from because somebody forged the addresses.
Mm-hmm.
Would you put an ad in the Yellow Pages and forge your address and make it somebody else's address in order to conduct business? Is that the way you would normally conduct business? And that's usually when you get clink on the telephone. But there has been some interesting... have you been following what's been going on with the spam filters and the mailing list lately?
No. I know that there's some... legal wranglings between spam filters, and there's the Vixie and the black hole, and it's been this ongoing back and forth war where one guy would black hole his competitor because they're both selling spam filtering of some kind.
Did they really do that? You mean Orbitz and Vixie?
Orbs and Maps. Or, yeah, they were matched up against
each
other.
I can never get either of those.
I don't know which is which.
I think Orbs is a volunteer program and Maps may not be. But I could never get either of them working. You're supposed to set up your DNS to be able to backtrace somehow to the to them. And then they basically black hole route you or route them. I don't know. I have
yeah, well, they black hole you for any kind of reason. There's no... since everybody just opts into it, it's all a volunteer thing by all these system administrators, there's really no recourse once you've been black holed.
Well, people
black holed John Gilmore, and he...
Yeah, that was a big kind of slash.
He said, okay, go ahead and black hole
yeah,
me. And they,
John
they
Gilmore is actually... Actually, John Gilmore, in his case, was actually running open relay, and he was complaining that he should have the right to run such an open relay, because after all, it's in the RFC, so it should therefore be allowed.
Right. By the way, John Gilmore is... not everybody may know who he is. He's the... one of the founders of the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and he lives in New York.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I'm very fond of that organization, I can't tell you.
Yeah, he has an open relay, and he has an open wireless connection.
Oh, good.
He said that if you're around, I think it was Mott Street, you could pick up his repeater and get on the internet.
That's good. Could you also get in his internal network that way?
Yeah, presumably. He knows what he's doing, though. I wouldn't.
You sure? Isn't he a lawyer?
I don't think he is a lawyer, no. No, he knows what he's doing.
Anybody's proponent for keeping open relays, in my book, is,
well.
No. Why don't you go play the Tookster, huh?
Didn't he make the, He make that desk cracking chip, the DES cracking. Not the chip, but the, like a system. He demonstrated a system for under $200,000. I think it was 94 that could crack 40-bit DES keys in like a day or something.
Well, you know more about this cracking stuff than I do. But
well, I mean, I'm just saying that he knows what he's doing. He's a real EE.
Okay, so he's a real hacker.
Yeah.
Well, he's still forward with the open relay. But this is one of the reasons why I don't bother blocking the spammers. I just block the relays. And that's it. First of all, it's actually harder to block the spammer than it is to block the relay, because the relay actually routes to you, so you can put it into your send mail filter and block the relay, but you really don't have a recourse to block the original spammer, unless you do more fancy filtering, which is beyond, as far as I'm concerned, reasonably beyond the capability of Procmail to do. But in addition to that, and of course from a routing perspective, there's no way. The only thing you can route is... you know, the only thing you can dead route is basically the relay that's coming to you. So, but you know, frankly, it's an interesting thing. If you look at, one of the biggest ways I catch spammers ultimately is by just reading my Apache logs, because they literally walk through like idiots through the mailing list.
Like spiders.
Yeah, and you know, usually I sit there with the strip on, right, that tells me my network traffic. So when I see it going ding, 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 like every 3 seconds, you know immediately that you're getting hit. So then it's just a matter of who you are.
Do you spend a lot of time with your strip on?
Usually. This is not my desktop. This is Marco's desktop that's currently running here because he's running the radio show through it. But yeah, the strip is always on. I have a striptease stripper on my computer that tells me the higher the CPU usage, up goes the waistline. And let's see, it's real cool. Anyway, let's just do a look at it.
Oh, gee, Ruben, that's really wonderful.
What's that?
Oh, did you write that yourself?
Mm-hmm.
It's radio. We can say whatever we want.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, yeah, that's totally great.
Where did you see the pubic hair? Okay.
Jeez.
Marco's wondering, what are they talking about? I thought you were sick. Go away. In this case, you can see I wasn't home when this was happening. I was at Manhattan today. But here you can see even the way the log's running through right there. There you go.
Oh, this is wonderful radio.
So here's... So everybody should black route this following IP address. And the IP address is 204.123.28.30. It's clearly some type of spam spider.
Let me check all my lottery tickets and see if I have.
Yes, or you can play these numbers on the lottery ticket. That's right. So you didn't get your mother to use a new desktop. Is you're trying to get her to stop sending you spam?
Well, that's step one.
Okay. And your wife?
She probably wouldn't use a GNU desktop because...
say it's not mature enough and I shoot you.
No, because it won't run the spyware ad software that she needs to get free internet access. they run something electrocutable. Run it through you?
Run the spy me again? Through? In?
I'll run it around you, maybe over your head.
What does she have?
She has every 5 minutes some little dinosaur goes across the screen and it's carrying an advertisement behind it. Or sometimes it's wearing like a sandwich board. Sometimes it's flying a plane and dragging a sign in the sky. And it's always something like...
And for this she gets free software. She gets free internet.
She can get free software, right?
Good.
We need a cough button for you.
Yeah.
We have one. This is a great mixer.
Where's our cough button?
The mute button. There you go. Now everybody can only hear the coughing through my microphone, which is much better.
Okay. Back on now?
Yeah. Or you can just drop the fader and bring it.
Well, it's nice of you to give us a demonstration how to use this.
Yeah.
It also would be nice if we can get the show on time next time. Anyway.
Marco just showed us how to use the fader.
That's good. Wolfman Jack, I think, eventually died of throat poisoning, wasn't it?
I think Darth Vader killed him.
Darth Vader, okay.
Well, I think Wolfman Jack might have died long before his show.
Did you see the latest Star Wars movie?
I did see the Star Wars movie, yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought it was good. You know, I'm always disappointed by the dialogue in movies, but...
Well, the dialogue in Star Wars is always some dead. Be careful not to touch those buttons.
But, you know... It was a real ride.
Okay. We're friends? You mad? Okay.
Don't make him use his superpowers on you. He stole my keys earlier, and he flew away with them.
And they got lost.
I still have them now, but...
It's funny that right away he wants to turn the computer off. Because that was the only time when I had my other Linux boxes, the only time that they ever went down was when my kids turned the computer off. Of course, then there was a time that the computer completely died for a reason I couldn't figure out. And the reason why I finally figured it out is when I opened up the box and found a toy soldier jammed in the fan.
Yikes.
So that was tough.
Okay.
That was pretty tough.
Okay. But go hide my keys, but don't...
Don't forget me. There's an Abby Coleman present later. Don't worry. You have to bribe them to get them back. That's all right. How about your wife?
We went to see it. We went to the Ziegfeld Theater, which is like the nicest theater. And
you talking about the one on 14th Street?
No. Ziegfeld Theater is 56th. It's 56th, and it's just west of Broadway, I think. It's like the nicest theater in the world. It's one screen. It's like a really old-fashioned looking place, and it's just huge. And they had the digital projection there for the Star Wars movie.
You can go to the Star Wars PHX over on 14th Street in a screen that was larger than my house, than the house that I'm in. And it was a huge screen. It was a spectacular movie.
Yeah.
Anybody who's seen it, if you haven't seen it, if you're going to, you know, if you're not boycotting the movie industry. Then, this is the movie to see. Despite anything else anybody might tell you something, this movie is visually a leap ahead of anything that you've ever seen before, without a doubt. Okay.
Okay.
This movie is visually a leap ahead of anything else that, I think that, I've ever seen. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Really,
from end to end. And the girl is, very tasty.
Mm-hmm.
The girl is very, very tasty. It's very hard to come out of this movie not wanting being in love with Prince Anne there.
Well, she looked a lot better in this movie than in the
She looked clearly a lot better in this movie than the other one. Clearly. She's
losing a little bit of that robot.
That robot look, that's right. She actually learned how to act, and she's quite athletic, to say the least. Made me want to go hit the gym.
Gym?
You know, gym. Like Jim Gleason, because I am Superman. Dun, da, dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Where's my Superman button? I'm missing it. Hey, Dewey, I hear you on the radio. Here, why don't you say well?
Dewey's wearing a green cape tonight. Right.
Okay. How about you do it? How about your daughter? You don't have a daughter yet. Not that you know of yet, anyway. How about your wife? What is she using?
She has a Mac. She has a little iBook that I got her. Very nice.
So there's no free software or desktop people in your house?
Well, there's me. And there's Dewey.
There's you and Dewey in the screen. Have you ever tried to push your wife off the Mac?
Pushing her onto the Mac is hard enough. She's just getting the hang of it. Yeah, actually, you know, we've been... she's had an account on my machine for a long time. She was just using my computer, my Linux computer, all the time.
So why move to the Mac?
Well, having her own computer... because I'm constantly dissecting the computer. Okay, I'll do it in a minute, okay? I'm always dissecting my computer and changing things around, and when she logs in, I don't really check that everything's still consistent. It's not like an installation where it would just be there and she could log in and expect the same thing every time. This is like... The real problem was that it wasn't her own computer. The problem wasn't what the software was.
No, the real problem is that you're turning it to the computer all the time.
That
you're sharing the computer. The problem is that you're pulling the parts out and putting new parts in.
So, when she gets her own computer...
She gets a Mac.
Yeah.
So why don't you get her a free desktop with it?
Why change it?
I don't know. Why don't you answer that question?
Because I don't really want to go through the trouble of changing the pre-installed system that was on her Macintosh laptop.
But you're strapping her to it, though, because the longer she uses it, the more she's going to wind up being stuck to it.
She doesn't use it all that often, to tell you the truth. She just checks her email. She's not like a big computer user at all.
Well, then it shouldn't matter that you're ripping the computer apart and putting it back together again.
Well, it does. Because the one thing she needs is that email, and she needs to get connected to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so dialing has to be... And that's the one thing I was changing all the time. I was always changing network things. And
screwing around SSH?
Well, yeah.
Are you still on just dialing?
I'm on a dial-in, yeah.
Your dial-in connectivity as it's turning right now, what are you using for that? You're using you're using TPP demand?
No. And I'll tell you why. this gets to the... Because if... Dewey, you gotta go over there, okay? Okay, you gotta be quiet. Alright. This is the interesting thing. That Macintosh, if it's turned on and it's on the network, it starts dialing out if I have demand dialing on. If it's on my local Mac,
it starts dialing out.
It tries to send a packet somewhere. I never caught it and figured out like where it was trying to get to, but I should run NetSped on it sometime and figure out why the PPP dials out.
Spyware?
It's spyware. It's something. Maybe it's not spyware. Maybe it's like an Apple auto update notifier thing. But every couple of minutes, it just dials out, and I can't control it.
Sounds like a good reason to get her on a free desktop.
Well, yeah, that would. That's not a desktop problem.
That's nothing.
No.
You know, you can get the Zeus desktop for a few dollars.
There's got it now. Well, the whole thing
it's ready for a Mac.
I could dig through it.
You're the Mac guy.
I could dig through that system and figure out.
Just have Marco do
what was wrong.
Yeah, just have Marco put it on her Mac.
Well,
are you using an iBook?
One of these days, I'll bring her computer down here.
Well, we can do it at the install fest
if you
want.
She needs.
Yeah, to the install fest. If she didn't like me before, she clearly won't like me after install fest. What do you have on your iBook?
PPC Linux, which is the Yellow Dog.
Yeah, the Yellow Dog, and is it working?
Works fine. Everything works, even sleep. And
are they still in business?
Yellow Dog?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I haven't kept up with their politics. I mean, I just had an original Yellow Dog, and then I upgraded the kernels and stuff to get the especially the sleep functions working.
You haven't tried the SUSE for the iMac or for the iMac?
I have not. I only tried. I mean, I
just the Yellow Dog stuff.
And I haven't played around with it.
Mm-hmm. So how long will it take you to get Billy's wife here on a GNU desktop? Billy makes a lot of money. He's willing to pay for this. You see, Billy understands that joke.
It's just like installing on any other.
It's just like installing on any other one?
Is that true?
Installing on any other. I mean, if you have to do a dual boot, you have to do a dual boot into Windows. How long would it take you to install that machine? About 2 or 3 hours? It's
no.
About to take.
No, with SUSE it would take me about 30 minutes.
Well, if you have to repartition stuff and you want to like tweak the install a little bit, I'd give myself about 2 or 3 hours.
Okay, well maybe. So I saw somebody with a ThinkPad a few weeks ago, with no extra partition on the system at all, and he was as dumb as a doornail. This guy, I shouldn't say that. He's not that stupid really, but he's not really good with these systems. And what he did was, he installed the entire thing with me standing over his shoulder from the SUSE disks in about, it took about 30 minutes. But the thing had DVD, which made it a little faster, because it ran through like all 7 disks in about, in 30 minutes. So with the CD, it would take a little bit longer. But it, minimized the size of the Windows partition right away without any problems. And just installed, of course, it wasn't the fancy type of installation I would do. With all the partitions that I would have, but it was quite impressive. In any event, but the thing is that the Macintosh does not, as I understand it, boot from the floppy, right?
Mine would boot right off of the CD, and I did the whole installation that way. If you have all the iBooks should work just fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you have there is an older generation of G3s, which cannot boot off of the floppy for some reason. In that case, you just put a little boot. I mean, they even have it all set up to have this little boot file on the Mac partition, and you can boot from that and then do the rest of the install by just copying the packages off the CD, but your actual booting is off of that file. And I did that on an older Mac. So, I mean, it's really not an issue of getting, except the really, really old Macs, like the ones that are still on 686 ones. I haven't done that. I mean, the not 686. 68K ones. I've never done one of those. But those are like different distributions and stuff. You have to hunt around a little longer.
So what's the X Windows like with one button?
Kind of sucks. Yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely the thing that sucks the most, because they say that in X, I mean, in the Mac, and I use the Macs a lot for a lot of years.
If you plug in an external USB mouse, though, you're fine, right?
Yeah, I mean, I basically just plop down an external mouse with the 3 buttons, and then there's no problem. But historically on the Mac, I mean, they've had 3 buttons, and that's, I mean, you could use control click and alt click and normal click.
Right.
And there's tons of applications that work with those 3 buttons, which you just have your hand just sitting above control
click.
There's
a lot of applications where you need control right click, right? And then you're locked. You can't do it. You can't do control right click if control is what you need to do a right click.
Right.
All.
So there's like some event trapping stuff that's weird on the, but under X Windows, you have control right click? No.
X term, control. Right click. Gets you the menu to change fonts, I think.
Okay, I've never used that, because when I was talking to the guys, because I was trying to get the button trapping to have the touchpad on the iBook working with control click, alt click as being mouse button 2 and mouse button 3,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying that the way that, and I'm not an expert on the X event model at all, but they were saying that a problem with X is getting the mouse event and the keyboard event coinciding as a single event,
mm-hmm.
and so that's why it's never mapped just automatically. Most people that have been using Macs would automatically want to just control click alt click to get the middle and the right right click, but they wouldn't do that by default, because for some reason it's the X people don't, whatever, it's more difficult to do it. But as much as I know.
Okay, so how about your wife? Is she using a GNU desktop?
She's using Mozilla every day for her mail and her internet.
Oh, Okay, so as Marco says, she's using the zoo every day. That's a good start. See,
silent
kitty. I had her text terminals in Japanese, and that didn't impress her enough to switch over. And I showed her Emacs with the Japanese. That was very easy to set up. But,
why won't she turn over?
Huh?
Why won't she turn over?
Just not kicking her hard enough in the butt, I guess.
No. That's we don't abuse our women.
No!
That's right. Right? We love our mommies. Okay. What's the sticking point for her that you want using? No particular reason?
I mean, if it was just internet stuff, I think she would. I mean, if it's just email and stuff. But she doesn't use all the Adobe apps on a regular basis.
Alright, so she's stuck to the Adobe apps for business purposes.
Yeah, I mean, she works using that every day, and so she knows this.
So what's the solution for that?
Getting Adobe to work on free software is
It's funny. That's right. Adobe was looking for people this week to work with Linux. So obviously they were trying to port something over. I don't know what they're trying to port over, but I doubt that they're writing free software. Yeah, Richard was really excited about
that.
Well, they broke.
They only have Distiller, and some of that PDF stuff is already.
That's got to go anyway. You know, the real solution to this is just don't use Adobe. Unfortunately, if you're not in the decision-making process in the job that you're in, then it becomes that much more difficult. But that's even more the reason why it's necessary to try as much as possible to sell the IT departments and people on using free software. And this gives you an idea of what kind of thing you're up against, which is why when somebody goes over and says, well, the desktop's okay, but it's not mature enough, completely you can't let that slide by. And you can't just say, well, you're right, because... it's not right. And you're never going to break through the impasse like this, because you can see the impasse, it's involved. I mean, we're just never going to break through the impasse, effectively, by trying to, by being in a set of circumstances where people need to use the third-party software all the time, constantly, for the businesses. Of course, you know, here's the catch, though. Here's the catch, though. If she was to have only the free software available to her in the house and the boss has to do work at home, she would just have to say, no, I'm using only Linux, right? I don't have the software in my house. I only have free software in my house. Would that put her... Then the boss would have to think about it, no?
I don't think so. I mean... I'll be 100% behind the GIMP for a number of issues, and you've heard me talk about specific reasons why the GIMP is even more interesting than Photoshop for a lot of stuff, and does handle a lot. But there certainly are. I mean, if you go on a one-to-one list down of everything that Adobe products can do and try to replace that, I mean, it's a difficult battle right now. If you go on with Illustrator and Quark, and I mean, those are. So she probably uses Illustrator and Quark more often than Photoshop on a daily basis. And
well, I think the vector graphics programs have reached a pretty good saturation point. How about Sidopi, is it called?
I've looked at a lot of those, and it's true, there's very interesting stuff out there. But, you don't have any sort of... you can open a Photoshop file in the GIMP. You can't open an Illustrator file. You can't open an Illustrator file anywhere.
Well, that's good. Not bad.
Hmm?
That's good, not bad. We don't want to be compatible with Illustrator. I mean, you want to be incompatible with Illustrator as much as possible. It's really too bad that the GIMP actually opens up Photoshop files. You know, I'm beginning to think that that's not a good idea anyway. Either if a place wants to commit to the GIMP, then they commit to the GIMP and just kiss Photoshop goodbye and stop the nonsense.
I mean, I don't know how many years that's been... I don't know how many years the GIMP has been a viable option. I've only been using it for about a year or two. I've used Photoshop for longer than that.
It's been viable for 3 years.
I mean, I've seen it get a lot better in the 2 years that I've been using it. especially stuff like the FreeType plugin and the layer functioning has gotten much, much better, and the animation stuff has gotten pumped right in there, and like the scanner interface, which I talk about all the time, which is really good.
Excellent.
Has gotten... Well, I mean, I don't know. I only got the scanner recently, but I can't imagine that that's been running incredibly smoothly for, you know, 7+ years.
No, I'd say it's been around for a long time. In fact, a real long time. The thing about Xsane is that until I used Xsane, or when I originally started using scanners, I had a really good piece of software for it, which was considered a pretty professional version type of scanning software.
We have a call-in.
We got a call-in. Hello. How are you doing? Where are you? At home.
Seems to be one of our guests that is on the way.
No problem. That was a call from David Sugar. He wants to wish us a hello. Anyway, Xsane's been around for a while. Prior to using Xsane, I had this like $300 proprietary piece of bootleg software to do scanning with, and it was amazing. And then, of course, Windows crashed a number of times, and the software kind of disappeared on the crash. I was very stuck, you know, to what was available until I got Xsane. And then Xsane came back, and I was amazed because once again I was able to actually do a three layer tones and trying to figure out where the middle was and where the end was.
I mean, it gives you the histograms right away, which most of the scanning software people are trying to make the sort of the pay more and you get the full version sort of
nonsense
of you already paid $200 or whatever bucks to the scanner and then you have to pay $200 more for the actual software which runs the thing, which drove me perfectly insane when I bought my Epson recently, and I was completely happy.
And Photoshop was terrible at this, by the way. The scanner drivers was always a separate program on Windows, so that when you used to load Photoshop into the program or the scanner program into Photoshop, then Photoshop became the capturing program, right, for the raw bits that the scanning program was working with, and the result was that Photoshop would crash the system. Because its memory management was so bad, especially Photoshop 5 and even 6. And the other day, I saw even 7 crash. And in fact, with all the complaints that we've been watching at the Wax List, which is a topic that I hope to get to today, you know, it's amazing lately that they've been, you know, it's amazing how much they talk about how their systems crash. In fact, there was last week, somebody was saying that X10 is so much more stable than the other ones because I haven't crashed yet. It was just OS9 crashing like 5 times a day, right? Now it doesn't crash at all anymore. Well, so much for all that great, you know, supposedly max stability that's supposed to be there, which obviously is not anywhere near what we'd like it to be.
I don't think anyone would ever say the Mac was, I mean, the OS9 and before were stable.
Oh, that was the big thing that people would say. Windows, you'd say Windows is unstable. They'd go try the Mac. The Mac's not unstable. The Mac's plenty unstable. Clearly. That's clearly a big problem, the Mac. Anyway, with that, let's hook up a little bit more music, and we shall take a break, and we'll come back to our next segment, in which we're going to be talking about how to win friends, let's just say, how to win friends and influence people.